If you're looking for the perfect gift, you're covered with a gift that's sure to wow. Taste of Chicago ships Lou Malnati's legendary deep dish pizzas nationwide. Plus, they ship other Windy City favorites too. Visit tasteofchicago.com to order today.
Time for our Wednesday This Week in Chicago History feature with Anna DeVlantis. Anna, I think you're going to make me want a double cheese with chips, no fries, Pepsi, no Coke. Good morning.
Pepsi, no Coke. You've ordered it before, Bob. I can see. I know many, many, many times. So Friday, do not make any plans. Head over to Lower Michigan.
That's right.
Stop by the Billy Goat because this is a huge party. You heard about this, I'm sure. The Goat is celebrating 90 years. And not only that, but the famous proprietor, Sam Sionis, is celebrating his 90th birthday. So it's going to be kind of a huge day. You know, it'll be fun to get out there. He's still working the grill at the Goat, I'm told, to this day at 90 years old, 90 years young, I should say. Maybe he'll take the day off Friday, but it's a wonderful story. Bill Sionis, the uncle, started the first location at the Chicago Stadium. His nephew, Sam, immigrated from Greece, started working for his uncle. And then when Bill died in 1970, Sam took over the Billy Goat. And if you've ever sat there, Bob, for any amount of time, and I'm going to guess you have, you hear how he barks your order back at you in his thick Greek accent, you know, and he doesn't accept a lot of change orders, you know, the sauce on the side, that kind of thing. He's not into that.
No, he's
you
not.
Order it, and it's pretty no-nonsense. Sam is a total character, so much so that John Belushi, of course, and his Second City friends, who were regulars at the Goat, wrote that famous skit about him, which later became an SNL hit, Cheeseburger, Cheeseburger. We pulled a clip.
Come on, we got an LT, we ain't got an LT. Okay, we got to start over, start over. Okay, what are you going to have?
I think I'll have grilled cheese and a Coke.
Grilled cheese?
No, grilled cheese.
No grilled cheese.
Cheeseburger and a Coke.
No Coke, Pepsi.
Okay, Pepsi and French fries.
No fries, cheap.
Okay, cheap.
One cheeseburger, one Pepsi, one cheap.
Cheeseburger.
Pepsi, cheap.
What do you want? Cheeseburger and a small Coke.
No Coke, Pepsi.
Pepsi.
One cheeseburger, one Pepsi.
Cheeseburger.
Pepsi.
Cheeseburger, four Pepsi, two cheap.
Cheeseburger,
two Pepsi, one cheap. I'll have a couple eggs and a couple egg sausage. Is that the link sausage or patty? Link sausage. Eggs over lightly, a large orange juice and coffee. Thank you. Cheeseburger?
That's Robert Klein in there with Belushi, Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Lorraine Newman, Garrett Morris, Gilda Radner, and Jane Curtin.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is when you're down there and Sam's there, he'll notice a tourist and then he'll start the shtick. You know what I mean? He'll turn it up for the visitors.
Love it. Happy 90th to Sam. It's awesome.
It's a big anniversary for our own Lou Manfredini, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, Bob, you might have noticed some local media celebrating Lou Manfredini this month as he enters his 30th year at WGN Radio. And there'll be other celebrations, I'm sure, over the next year here on WGN. But we just want to jump in and celebrate Lou's story. 3 decades on the air, just loved and beloved by all listeners. Has helped all of us out at one point or another. If you've listened to Lou, he's figured out something. He's fixed something for you. And, you know, just an incredible, loved treasure here in this town. What is lesser known about Lou Manfredini is how he got his start. It was a letter writing campaign that launched his incredible career. He dreamed of bringing the knowledge he had acquired over the years in skills and from his hardware store experience. He started when he was 13 and he wanted to be on a larger platform. So he sent out a bunch of letters to local radio stations and got a lot of rejections. But Bob Collins at WGN said, you know what, kid, I'll give you a shot. Hmm. And he's been on WGN ever since. Just incredible. What would we do without Lou? I found a clip of Lou doing something he doesn't often do. He's talking about himself here and his storied career on WGN. This is from a talk that led up to his WGN Walk of Fame. So he was forced to talk about himself, and here's what he said.
And ultimately, right, you need that sort of mechanical aptitude, whatever. My father was really quite a terrific mechanic, and he was a problem solver, right? That was his thing. And I can remember as a kid, you know, watching him and doing stuff. He was also very creative in a mechanical way. You know what I mean? He wasn't, my dad wasn't a singer or a dancer or anything like that, but although he could dance. You know, and maybe there's a little bit of that that came through.
Yeah, right.
I mean, he did a lot of stuff. You know, I grew up in an era where everyone's dad did that stuff.
Right.
Right. And so we did a lot of that around our house. And he was, you know, my folks were Italian immigrants, right? They came off the boat and they, you know, worked trades. And so that was that era where you did everything yourself. You didn't, the only time a plumber came over is if he was a friend, right? That's when it was.
Mr. Fix-It. You hear him Saturday mornings here, 6 to 10. Little known fact, he's rarely stumped, but when he is, he very discreetly and secretly calls me to get the right answer, and then he'll go on the air with it. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
That's how it works, Bob?
That's exactly how it works.
I'm going to ask Marianne and just double-check that one right before I believe that.
More believable that he would call her, actually. Well, I remember being on the radio the afternoon Mayor Richard J. Daley passed away, 1976, huh?
Yeah, you must remember how shocking it was for the city and what a sudden death it was. You know, you think about how the city was taken back this week, 1976. Mayor Daley was serving his sixth term as mayor at that time, suddenly died of a heart attack without any warning. That morning, he had shot a free throw in a gymnasium opening. He had gone to a holiday breakfast for the city department heads. He had ruled over the city from 1955 to 1976, and when he died, it was sudden and felt across the city. Over 100,000 people came out to pay their respects to him, the sitting president, Gerald Ford, president-elect Jimmy Carter, Vice President Rockefeller, senators, governors, you name it, of course, lots of Chicago, regular Chicagoans and daily loyalists. Just a powerful guy. The New York Times even covered his death as a front page story, you know, talking about the big city boss who ruled Chicago for 20 years. Certainly brought order and stability to Chicago. Critics point to segregation in the city and corruption as part of his legacy. We pulled a clip here, Bob, I think you'll enjoy. The late Harold Washington, another legendary politician, commenting on the legacy of Mayor Richard J. Daley.
He treated me as a business person would treat people in a business. That's the way he treated most people. Nothing personal about it. That's the way he functioned. That's the way he operated. He was the consummate politician. He was the quintessence of the political figure. He was a father figure. Whether or not he was a man of compassion, I couldn't say. I dare say he was. He struck me as being a person who you could like if you got to know. But I dare say very few people knew him. I'm certain you can find on every corner now somebody who has had the confidence of Daley, who talked to Daley, who Daley leaned on. I mean, they're all in the woodwork. Most of them, this just wasn't true. Very few people knew this man. He was a loner. When you get right down to it, most powerful people who have real integrity and real character are loners. You know, they don't spend all their time garrulousing around. They have to pull back and think and reflect and get their batteries charged. They may like people, they may deal with people, they may function with people, but they're basically and fundamentally loners. And that's true in politics, it's true in art, it's true in science, and it's probably true in entertainment world. And Daley was of that group.
Yeah, it's so great to hear Harold again, and only he would use words like quintessence.
you go back, you listen to his interviews, truly impressive.
I know.
I agree, Bob.
And Mayor Richard J. Daley, around so long, I remember after he died, young people were asking the question, who's going to be the new Mayor Daley? Remember? 8:49 right now. We'll get the weather and traffic on, and then more This Week in Chicago History with Anna.
We're in the money.
Yeah, in the money from 1933, and that was a big year for what became an iconic Chicago restaurant. Anna?
Yeah, Bob, the Drake Hotel, going back to 1933, the Cape Cod Room had just opened, and this week, about a minute after Prohibition was repealed, some say a few hours earlier, the drinks started flowing at the iconic Drake Hotel Bar, Coke Door. And according to the papers, the lines were so long that bartenders only had time to pour 40-cent whiskeys because they didn't have time to mix drinks and do martinis and stuff. And it was thriving for many, many years after that. So it's just interesting to think that bar inside the Drake was awarded the second liquor license in the city after Prohibition was repealed, the Berghoff was number one.
Hmm.
And it was just, you know, just it's still to this day is this wonderful, like, charming wood-paneled bar and lounge. And back then, it quickly became a gathering place for the who's who locally and visiting celebrities as well. Joe DiMaggio and Marilyn Monroe cozied up to the bar and famously carved their initials into it. So when the Cape Cod Room, though, closed in Chicago just a couple years ago, they did move some of their famous dishes over to the lounge, and you can still get the bookbinder soup there and the crab cakes. They discontinued the sardine sandwiches and also dropped the boned pig's feet in jelly that used to be on the menu. I don't know. That was not so popular anymore.
I think the bookbinder soup and the crab cakes more popular.
Yeah, they're working out.
Michael Jordan loved that restaurant. A lot of people did. It was around for, what, like 80 years, something like that?
Yeah, 80 years.
Let's talk a little bit about a couple of towns with Chicago connections that get celebrated this time of year, and you have a little history lesson on that for us, Anna?
Absolutely, Bob. You ever been to Holiday Hills, Illinois?
No.
Population 618. Holiday Hills, Illinois. Take a trip up there. You and Marianne take a road trip. It's over near the Wisconsin border. And a lot of people wonder, how did it get its name, Holiday Hills? The town originated as a cluster of summer vacation cabins along the shores of Griswold Lake in the 1930s. By the 40s, it started to attract Chicagoans who wanted a little more rural lifestyle, but still was a vacation spot. The exact origins, not exactly recorded, but a lot of people believe it just became commonly known that way as a holiday town or a retreat, a resort, a destination spot. And that's how it got its name. Another award for most holiday-sounding name locally or somewhat locally goes to Santa Claus, Indiana, former Bear Jay Cutler's town, hometown. Every year, the town gets thousands of letters from kids all over the globe, actually, writing to Santa Claus in Santa Claus, Indiana. And it's become this big tradition that the town makes sure to respond to each and every letter. They've created this Christmas hand postmark that they do a new one every year, and it's just so cute. And they have this group of volunteers called Santa's Elves who do this and, like, write back to, you know, help the elves, you know, write back to kids and things like that. And if it all sounds like a Hallmark Channel special, it gets even better. A majority of Santa Claus residents live within the gated community of Christmas Lake Village, and it's around three lakes: Christmas Lake, Lake Holly, and Lake Noel. So no need to watch the Hallmark Channel this year. Just go on over to Santa Claus, Indiana.
Yeah, that's all you need to do to get in the spirit. It's This Week in Chicago History. Anna DeVlantis. Anna, you have a terrific holiday season. We'll talk to you in the new year.
You do the same. Thanks, Bob.